This is Alan Karpik with Tom Deanhart, Saturday Chat. What could be better, you know, and we appreciate it. Today's topic, we're going to do a draft of our favorite slash best Purdue running backs, and that may be a little bit of both. And we're going to date it from 1970. So all apologies to our good friend Leroy Keyes, because he would be absolutely on the list, might be number one. But we are starting at 1970. We're kind of trying to hedge it on people that we've seen. Now, I'm a little bit older than Tom. I've seen Leroy play. It started going to games in 1966. So we'll have fun with that. And I want to thank our sponsors. And that, of course, is Follett's and Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill. Now their dining room is open. And I think that's starting to go along pretty well downtown. I was at 6th Street Dive yesterday, another sponsor, and picked up some food. And Nick said they're moving up their capacity a little bit as of next Monday to 75%, I believe. And it looked good. Ran into Denny Miller there, so that was good. Wow. First Source Bank, also Home Field Apparel. Our good friends down there, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. And of course, we also want to thank our other food sponsors in West Lafayette, small businesses having a challenging time. But Triple X, we were there a week ago, Tom, to have a little Dwayne Purvis. That was awesome at their curb service there. Greg and Carrie Ehrsman doing a great job with that. Whitaker Inn, a little bit of construction out by their hotel, but you can get there off of 500 North and West Lafayette. Smee's Place in Indianapolis, and of course Arnie's and Bruno's, great friends of the family. Bruno, I'm getting pizza there tonight, so I'm looking forward to that. Now tonight, I'm telling you that we're actually recording this on Friday, but it is our Saturday chat. Tom, a lot of fun with this. We've been enjoying our unsung basketball list the last couple of weeks. These are not unsung players. We are going to pick our top five running backs. And interesting list as I put it together. There's probably 15 that I really gave some strong consideration to. But again, because I'm just a sweetheart of a guy, I'm going to let you go first, and you can pick. This is an interesting one. Because it really is, because it's between two guys, we know that, but and both would be good choices, but tell me who you're picking.
Yeah, you know, I love talking a lot of subjects with you. I just love your friendship, and I get tickled pink just talking about Purdue.
It's fun to do.
Picking your brain on a lot of stuff. I respect you so much, but I think I know where you're headed with your intro there. It's probably between two guys. Since you're older than me, you saw the other guy more than I did. I'm going to go with Mike Allstott.
Fair pick, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I remember getting the Golden Black Illustrated. I got from issue one, Alan, and on the cover of the signing day, I think it was 1992, there was Mike Allstott with Chris Kepin, I believe, a linebacker from Chicago. Two Chicago area kids were on the cover that year. And of course, Mike Allstott, Joliet Catholic. You scratch your head in hindsight and wonder, how did Illinois let this kid get out of state? How didn't Wisconsin get this guy? Alan, wouldn't have Allstott looked good as a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fullback?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
West Lafayette. You know, we get dribs and drabs of him in the fall of 1992 with Jim Coletto. And I remember the Michigan game that year at home. He had some big runs early in that game. We kind of got a sneak peek.
First 100-yard game, yep.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, of course, we go on to 93, 94, 95, iconic career at Purdue. And, Alan, there's not many guys that cause my jaw to drop.
Yeah.
He caused my jaw to drop with these runs. The 1995 IU game, the finale was – still in my mind, one of the most fun events I've ever seen. And some of the runs in that game were unbelievable. The guy could not be stopped. So, again, I'm going Allstott number one.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick and hard to argue. He is the all-time leading rusher at Purdue. Yes, he did have four seasons of playing as opposed to the guy I'm going to pick, which is Otis Armstrong. But you know, Mike Allstott is just the personification of Purdue Pete as a player, yeah. and the legend of it all, the pulling, you know, the pulling the Jeep and his legendary work ethic. And he ended up having a great pro career. You know, you can't really, even though Otis Armstrong led the NFL in rushing one year, you still, Mike Allstott had a very, very good pro career, maybe on the edge of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I think he should go in right now.
Yeah, and yet I don't know that he's going to get in. I don't think Otis Armstrong ever will get in, but Otis Armstrong had a very good career, cut short a little bit, as most running backs have that happen. But Otis at Purdue, and the tie between Allstott and Otis is actually interesting because of their last game against Indiana. And it was both records in their last games. Otis Armstrong set the record with 276 yards, and I think they both on their last carry. I know Armstrong had a 58-yard touchdown run on his last carry at Purdue in that 42-7 win over Indiana in 1972. And I believe – I don't know that Allstott's last run – I know they took Allstott out of that game in the 95 game. They played on that Friday after Thanksgiving with 264 yards. And he, you know, I'd love to get him really to tell us what he thought. He says he was done because he had plenty of time to break Otis's record. He did not, but some of those runs were iconic, as were Otis Armstrong, Purdue's last consensus All-American running back. And that put him very high on the list, certainly out of Chicago. Probably a part of Purdue's best recruiting class ever in terms of if you look at NFL productivity and the fact that
Ron Meyer got him, right?
What?
Ron Meyer got him, right?
Ron Meyer and they got Otis Armstrong, Daryl Stingley, Dave Butts, all first-round picks in the 1973 draft. Purdue, I believe, had 9 guys picked in the first 3 rounds. Otis Armstrong, very, very powerful. Hit different type of runner, obviously, but Purdue also ran the football. Well, they ran the ball a lot with Allstott, but Armstrong had the ability to hit the hole hard. He was faster than Allstott, no question, but maybe not quite as powerful, but very, very powerful. And, you know, he was the Big Ten All-American in 72. Purdue came within an eyelash. So he slips on the turf at Michigan Stadium in a 9-6 loss to Michigan. Would have, had he been able to score and Purdue win that game, might have gone to Pasadena, believe it or not. That team finished a disappointing 6-5. But anyway, Otis Armstrong, hard to beat from that standpoint. So you're up next with your pick.
Yeah, that 1972 team, Alan, you're right, loaded with players. You know, it's tough. I'm going to flash back to my era. I kind of wanted to go with Mel Gray, the junior college transfer, but this may shock you a little bit, Alan. I'm going to go with Rodney Carter.
Ah, yeah, that was that's a good one.
Elizabeth, New Jersey. He got to Purdue in the fall of 82. Rodney never led Purdue in rushing, Alan. No. You know, Ray Wallace did it a couple of times, 84, 85, Mel Gray, 83. And, of course, the infamous James Medlock.
Yeah. All I remember is his picture of his hair in the media guy, James from Waycross, Georgia.
That's Georgia.
Georgia got Lars Tate,
yeah,
Indianapolis, and Purdue got James Medlock. I don't know if that was a fair trade, but go ahead. I digress.
I tell you what, Rodney Carter – you were there, Al. I was a student. You were a grad assistant in the fall of 85. Great expectations that year for the Boilermakers coming off the Peach Bowl team led by Jim Everett. A lot of that talent was back, as you know, and Purdue threw the ball with Jim Everett. And Rodney Carter was the recipient, Alan, of 98 receptions, which led the nation. I doubt if it's still a record for running backs nationally, but I'm sure at that time it was.
And
Rodney was a great back. You know, I think if they asked him to run the ball 20 times this game, he could have about been a 1,000-yard rusher. But Rodney, boy, what a pass catcher, a big back, a great athlete to play on the baseball team at Purdue. Had a nice, decent little NFL career as well. But on top of it, he's a great guy, too. But I tell you what, time forgets how good Rodney Carter was, especially in that 1985 season.
Yeah, I like that perspective because I really would not have he would not have put him at quite that high because of that. But then you look at the numbers and what he did with Jim Everett that year, extremely, extremely impressive. And you're right, a great guy. And he and Ray Wallace gave Purdue some pretty good options in 84 and 85, and they were very, very productive guys. All right, I am going to go with Scott Durking and with my pick. Scott, an all Big Ten level, I think might have been one of Purdue's most recent. I mean, he may be at Purdue's most recent all Big Ten, first team all Big Ten running back. Because Allstott, I don't believe, was ever first team. I'm not even sure he was second team, believe it or not. However, Scott Durking, powerful running back, tough-minded. He got to play as a freshman, but you know, 73 through 76, his 76 season, one game alone puts him on the list, and he did many, many other things. But on a bad ankle, he runs for 162 yards, I believe it was, against Michigan. Purdue upsets the number one ranked Wolverines in a game that no one thought Purdue could win. Purdue, a three-touchdown underdog at least, beat the number one Wolverines. Bo Schembechler never wins a national championship. Why? In part because Purdue beat the Wolverines that day, and Scott Durking had everything to do with that. Just a tough-minded guy, and he had a very good NFL career: Tampa Bay, New York Jets. Great guy, also, and the bloodline brought Purdue Dan Durking as well. Very good back as well, but Scott, very, very productive, and a guy that just was a tough-minded running back. He just would get after it. I liked him very much.
Yeah, great choice. Blue collar back. And I remember Mike Augustiniak, I think, was on those same New York Jet teams.
Right.
In the early 1980s. Of course, another Boilermaker running back. And Alan, real quick. Yes, Durkin was all Big Ten in 1976.
Right.
There was one other running back since then who was accorded first team all Big Ten honors for Purdue. It was in 1985, and it was Rodney Carter.
There you go. You're right. Good call.
Nobody thinks Rodney Carter. I'm going on 35 years, buddy.
Yep. I've got that. Who knows? Maybe they've got somebody on the roster this year that will.
Maybe Tyreek Murphy, the incoming from New York.
You know, it's hard now. You got 14 teams in the Big Ten. It's a lot harder than first team all Big Ten, but certainly it's been a long drought for Purdue. All right, you're up, my friend.
Okay, I'm going to go with my pick number three, Montrell Lowe, the low rider. You know, we talk about the Drew Brees era, and rightly so, and the conversation centers around him. And that offensive line, I think, gets a lot of accolades for Brees as well. Tim Stratton, of course, was the Mackey Award tight end winner. But the guy who carried the rock in the backfield was Montrell Lowe, you know, an undersized guy from Texas. Wasn't particularly fast, was productive, Alan. 841 yards in 99, 998 in 2000, the Rose Bowl year. 2001, Lowe had 640. His role sort of diminished as he got deeper into his career, as Purdue got better talent. But for 3 years, Montrell Lowe was a top back, especially on those two teams in 99 and 2000. That were very good. Yeah, he benefited from the passing attack that defenses had to focus on. But Lowe took advantage of that, had a lot of big games, and was very productive.
Two big games, and he'll ever forever be in Purdue lore for one as in 2000 against Michigan, and a game that Purdue trailed. It was Purdue's largest comeback in its history when they trailed 28-10 by Michigan. He scores here. He runs for, I think, 135 yards, which was it was a crazy record. It might have been one of the best performances ever against a Michigan defense or over a period of time. But he had a huge game that day. And then, of course, the Rose Bowl game against Indiana in the cold in Ross-Ade Stadium.
That game.
I think, as Jim Chaney used to say, Purdue's offensive coordinator, I think they gave him the ball on 27 straight plays, and they were the same play. He had 38 rushes, which I think still is a Purdue record or close to it. And ran for over 200 yards. Indiana could not stop him. And forget Drew Brees that day. I mean, Brees did some good things in that game, but they were going to make sure they got to Pasadena. And in the second half, that's all it was. It was like, get this game over with, hand him the football, let him run. But Montrello came up big. And you're right, his career did not, you know, 2002, he had turnovers early on against Notre Dame, a couple miscues, and never really saw the field again at any great level. And that was disappointing, I know, to Montrell. Montrell's a good kid, good guy. That was a tough time for him. But he did have a very, very productive career. I think that's a good pick. And I'm going to pick my next pick of a guy that displaced Montrello in 2002, and a guy that had great potential,
yeah,
didn't ever quite realize it, but had one of the best rushing seasons of a Boilermaker of late, and that is of course Joey Harris. And Joey was a kind of a guy that now you think is a little bit obscure. He was out of Texas as well, speedster. Really had that extra, one of the few backs that Purdue's had over the in the last 30 years that had that extra gear. He could run away from people, and he had over, I think it's 1115 yards in the 2002 season. He was an extremely capable back. He only stayed at Purdue for 1 year, had academic issues, I believe, going into the 2003 season, and was not heard from again at Purdue. But for that 1 year, and from a talent standpoint, I love Joey Harris and his ability.
Yeah, good choice. I remember that speed too, Alan. Boy, that was back in the day when Purdue would always go into the Lone Star State.
Yeah.
Remember Cedric Irvin, the big running back they had too? I mean, there's so much talent from Texas.
Cedric Brown, you mean? Yeah.
Cedric Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
So much great. Cedric Irvin played at Michigan State.
Cedric Brown he scored a rushing touchdown in the Rose Bowl, Purdue's last touchdown in that game. So yeah, absolutely. And there were some others that they got some good solid backs, but they didn't. But Harris was that one that could really break away, and probably in Tiller's watch, there's another one that I may be on our list, so I won't hint that. But I do think that these guys certainly Harris had a lot of potential. You're up, my friend.
Okay, this one may be a little bit off the radar, maybe not in the wheelhouse of some of the younger younger viewers, but I'm going to go with Mike Pruitt.
Yeah.
Mike Pruitt, Alan, overlap with Scott Durkin. Imagine those two guys in the same backfield.
Yeah.
Mike Pruitt was a better pro. Mike Pruitt was a better pro, period, than he was a college player production-wise. Yeah. A big back, physical back. He was an NFL running back, first round draft choice, Alan. Same year, Purdue had another first round pick in 1976. You know who that was?
Ken Novak, correct?
Defensive tackle, 6'7", Ken Novak. But Mike Pruitt, again, just a big, tough, physical back. Probably, like I said, wasn't used as much as he should have been at Purdue. Didn't play on very many good teams in West Lafayette, but went on to a career, again, in the NFL, mostly with the Browns. And he was highly productive. Again, a guy who had really no accolades at Purdue, didn't lead the team in rushing ever. But again, you go Otis Armstrong, Mike Pruitt, Scott Durkin. Purdue had some nice running backs there in the early to mid 1970s.
Yeah, and I'm cheating here, but yeah, 4 1,000 yard years for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
He also had one of the best runs as in 1974, 94-yard run against Iowa, and he was a sprinter. He was a fullback in that traditional sense, but he was extremely fast. His challenge at Purdue was he fumbled a lot early in his career, and they had to get him to hang on to the football. Once he did, that 75 season when you had Durking, even though Purdue started that season 0-5, and Alex Agassi was Purdue's very much of a run offense at that time. As I recall, you know, Durking and Pruitt were really good tandem backs, but yes, Pruitt was the fullback, so to speak, but he was a guy that could run.
And he's a Chicago guy.
Yeah, I believe so. And now I think he owns a car dealership, I want to say. Be a good guy to catch up with. But he is, I believe, in the Cleveland area still.
Remember, of course, his running mate in Cleveland was Greg Pruitt.
Right, yeah, yeah. Not related, but not related. And Mike was an extremely good pro back, again, with 4,000-yard seasons with the Browns. That's pretty darn
good. Well, yeah, Alan, is any other Purdue running back had as many 1,000-yard seasons in the NFL?
I think only maybe Otis Armstrong, and I don't think so. I think Otis led the NFL in rushing in his second or third season with the Broncos. but I don't think he had any more 1,000-yard seasons. So, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to steal one of yours and Mel Gray. And the reason, Mel was a guy, also a junior college guy from Coffeyville, maybe. I'm not sure where he came. I can't remember. I should have looked it up before. But Mel was a very, you know, in a time when Purdue struggled a little bit under Leon Burnett in 82, 83, both seasons. But Mel was very, very productive. Ended up being one of the better special teams guys in the NFL with the Detroit Lions. I think he made a Pro Bowl or two with that. But Mel could do a lot of things. Very, not a big guy. I think only weighed 176 pounds. But a guy that could skirt his way, get in the open field and pick up a lot of yards. He just, you know, didn't play on great teams and had the teams that struggled from time to time, but he was very, very productive back.
Yeah, you know, he was one of the all-time greatest return men in NFL history, Alan.
Yeah.
From Williamsburg, Virginia. Played in the USFL. I remember that with the LA Express before he
matriculated. Yeah. Correct.
The National Football League, like you said, a diminutive running back who led Purdue his only 2 years on campus in rushing in 1982 and in 1983, almost had 1,000 yards each season. So, yes, Mel Gray was without a doubt a special back. Now, gosh, my last choice here, buddy. Just to recap, for me, I got Allstott, Rodney Carter, I got Montrell Lowe, and I've got Mike Pruitt.
Yeah.
My goodness. You know what? I'm going to really hit you with the curveball here, buddy. The guy that I always liked a lot was Jeff Hill.
Okay, good. You talked about him yesterday in our pre-discussion, so I thought he might show up.
Yeah, Cincinnati, Ohio, Queen City. Jeff was not a big running back. He was actually a wide receiver when he got to Purdue. And Jim Coletto had him run the ball in 1991. And Jeff was good, you know, almost 700 yards rushing that year. Also could catch the ball, too. And just a tough guy, an underrated running back who, again, didn't play on very many good teams, was a Fred Akers recruit, but went on to have a little short stint with his hometown Bengals.
Yep.
And, again, Jeff was a guy, number six, who can move that ball, can run that ball a little bit, and I think time has forgotten just how effective he was, Alan.
Yeah, he'd have been an interesting guy in a Jeff Rom offense, I think.
Yeah.
Got a guy that could do some different things. He was elusive in the backfield. It was an interesting time because Fred Akers did recruit some good backs, Arlie Connors, I think, from St. Louis, and some guys that were decent. Purdue couldn't put it together at that time.
Speaking of Arlie Connors, who can forget the 1992 game with Cal? How he was running wild in that first half.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget his last run at the end of the half. I believe it was.
Yeah, right before halftime.
Right before it was 24 seconds. He figured there's no way they're just going to tackle him and it's going to be over. And he runs for a touchdown. Purdue, I think, went up 38-6 or whatever, 38-3 at the half. And they look like the New England Patriots before the New England Patriots. But in that game and that win, but Arlie Connors had a huge game as well. All right, I'm going to recap mine. Otis Armstrong was my first pick. Then, of course, Scott Dierking, Joey Harris, Mel Gray. And I am really torn on this last one. There are a couple guys I really like, but I think I'm going to go with Ed Watson. And Ed Watson in 1997, but he was very solid back. He played as a freshman in 94, played 3 years at Jim Coletto. Really had a lot to do with Purdue's resurgence, and certainly so did Billy Dicken, obviously, in 97 on the Purdue offense. But Watson proved very capable running the football, ran almost for 1,000 yards this year. Kendall Matthews, before he pulled his hamstring on a touchdown run where he was all alone, would have been all alone against Illinois that same year, might have been a 1,000-yard rusher. Both those guys, extremely good tandem backs. Joe Tiller used them well. I can remember and I think somebody said that game just got on YouTube, Purdue, Wisconsin, 97, Ed Watson running early on in that game, 80 yards for a touchdown, I think, from the second play. But, you know, I was toyed between him and Corey Sheets. And Corey Sheets we're really being remiss here because he did run for 1,000 yards. Corey was an extremely, extremely good back as well. Didn't play on, he played on good, you know, played his 2008 season, which he had his best year. Bree was not as good. But Corey had certainly had a very strong career as well. Watson had a little more of a time in the NFL, did not get to play much, but did play with the Packers. But I really struggled with them. I also, now we're going to get into my also-rans. I had other ones that were really considered as well. Jimmy Smith, who was from a talent standpoint, he was probably as highly regarded. He, Otis Armstrong, Jimmy Smith, the two most highly regarded recruits at that position over the last 50 years. And Jimmy from Kankakee showed some potential, certainly just didn't have the career. And Ralph Bolden, another interesting one in 2009, would have run. He had some injury issues late in the year. He had his first game as a starter, I think, runs for 238 yards or whatever it was against Toledo. Takes off for 78 yards just to open up the Danny Hope era. I thought Ralph Bolden, had he not, especially he'd come off a knee injury out of college or out of high school, had another knee injury and some injuries at Purdue, but Ralph was extremely good back. I liked him as well as a guy that I gave a lot of consideration to. Who were your honorable mentions from your standpoint? Anybody else?
You love Ed Watts of Pontiac, Michigan. Alan, real quick story. You remember before they were getting ready to play Notre Dame in 1997, somebody talked to Watson and asked him what it was going to be like having Jim Coletto come back to Ross-Ade Stadium. Of course, Coletto was the head coach, goes to Notre Dame to the OC. Watson made some remark, well, Coach Coletto should be used to losing to Ross-Ade Stadium. It was a quote to that effect. It was really funny, a good jab at Coletto. And sure enough, they beat Jim Coletto, who was Bob Davies' offensive coordinator in that game in 1997.
Luckily before Twitter, because that would have been completely blown out of proportion and Notre Dame would have been just a little bit more focused maybe in that game. But yeah, Ed Watson, smart guy, hard worker, is a really, really good back.
Real quick game, Maryland zone, Gerard Boyd.
Yeah, oh yeah.
3 years, led the team in rushing for 3 years. And you know, you talked about Corey Sheets, Purdue's last 1,000-yard rusher. Allen also has Purdue's single-season record for rushing touchdowns with 16. Alan, you could win some bets at Barry's Chocolate Shop with that factoid.
Right, and I think, yeah, we left him out. We may be remiss if somebody's going to criticize us. That you could certainly do that. But Corey Sheets was a very productive back and kind of a guy that would ruffle some feathers in the coaching staff just because he was kind of a free spirit dude. But very, very, very talented. Yeah.
Real quick, lastly, of recent vintage, DJ Knox.
Yeah.
For me, I loved watching DJ run in 2018. First of all, the perseverance he has to stay with it after injury and to keep fighting. And boy, it was so much fun watching that guy run a couple years ago. 883 yards rushing, just a fun back, a fun guy to talk to. Yeah. Great personality. And again, a terrific running back who, again, I really, really enjoyed watching run.
Yeah, I think Jeff Brohm would say, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the guy that had a lot to do with the turnaround of that team too, because he just was a leadership guy, and the program in 17 and 18, he had a lot to do with it. So, he definitely deserves a mention. All right, well, I want to thank our sponsors, and that, of course, being Follett's, Purdue, and the good folks Follett's, Purdue bookstores, and of course Purdue Federal, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Home Field Apparel, the Dive, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, and Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. We'll come up with another position for next week. We appreciate all of you listening. Tom, have a good week. I'm going to change my wardrobe, and we're going to record another one of these things here in a bit, and look forward to doing that here shortly. So have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next Saturday for our Saturday chat.
Thanks for watching.
All right, now let's get off, and then I think he has sent an invite, and we'll jump on. Okay. So I'll get off, and then
I'm gonna leave this and get his invite. Okay.
Oh, yep, I will do the same.
All right, but see you in a bit.